Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I thank you so much for downloading and or listening. As always, I'm your trusty host, Neil Horwitz. Please go ahead and find more information on the podcast and other content and previous episodes at dsmsports.net. You can also check it out on iTunes and Stitcher. And, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at njh287. Really fantastic show for today. I say it every time, and this time it's extremely true. Really excited for the conversation I had with Taylor Stern, the social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Just so much insight, the passion that comes through. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. But before we get to my conversation with Taylor, we have this episode's helpful tool. And this episode's helpful tool is all about quick videos and GIFs as well. It's an app called Vidy, V-I-D-Y. And it's basically, it's a very simple use case, and it's short videos or GIFs that have text overlaid on them. So it might be a famous movie line or just a saying that you are looking for, or just like, you know, what the heck, or what did he just do, or what just happened? Just various fun, sticky lines, memes, so to speak, that can come in handy when you're trying to find something engaging on social media that has that overlaid element to it. It's really intuitive, too, in that it has a little bit of AI involved, so you can do a quick search, and it has the keywords affixed to each of the various video offerings they have. A ton of different things you can search for, and it curates it pretty quickly for you. It's a quick save or post to social media, and really a pretty easy, handy tool. So, nothing too special with it. It's a fun little piece for engagement, probably especially on Twitter. So, give it a look. It's the Vidy app, V-I-D-Y, 100% free, no watermarks or anything like that. And give it a go. Search for something you're looking for, see what you like, and start trying it out. All right, Vidy is the helpful tool. We'll be right back now. Have a great conversation. Stick around to hear from Taylor Stern, social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool, and now we are right back, really psyched for this conversation. We are joined today by Taylor Stern. She is the social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. You may have heard of them. Welcome to the podcast today, Taylor.
Thank you so much, Neil. I'm so excited to talk to you.
We are excited to hear from you. You have a really cool job. You do an amazing job, too, and I had the pleasure of blogging about you guys during the season. I'll have to link you up to that later. But really psyched to learn to pick your brain a little bit, learn about everything is that is America's team, the Cowboys. Before we get into the meat of the discussion, we want to hear about you. Tell us a little about your career path, how you got started, really taking some initiative in college, and you know, getting and making your way to where you are today. Any tips for folks that want to do what you do?
Yes, well, it all starts because I tried out for UNM cheerleading. UNM, obviously, University of New Mexico. And I did not make it. And I remember being devastated and sitting in my bedroom, you know, senior in high school, and thinking, what am I going to do now? You know, I thought I was going to be a cheerleader, and I played tennis my whole life, and my senior year I quit to try to be a cheerleader because that's just kind of how I live, very spontaneously. And I realized, oh no, I have to do something else. So a lot of times I view failure as a different turning point in your life. And I remember my parents said, well, you still have to get a summer job. So my grandfather was a longtime high school coach in New Mexico. And, you know, he was really involved with the Coaches Association and different things like that. And so I called him up and I said, hey, I don't really want to work at the mall. I've already done the Victoria's Secret Hollister jobs. I want to do something real. And I said, you know, I like sports. I guess I could do something like that. Because at this point, you know, as a female, you really don't think there are a lot of opportunities in sports unless you're Aaron Andrews. That's kind of how it was when I was graduating. Now I think there's, you know, a lot more exposure for women and different platforms and different ways that they kind of have a sports career. So to make a long story short, I get a job at University of New Mexico Athletic Department as like an unpaid volunteer intern, where I was the SID for women's tennis and helped with basketball and football and did all that.
Wow.
Eventually, I kind of involved with Lobo TV and was able to have my own little segment called Taylor's Time Out, which was extremely fun.
Awesome.
And probably was... But then, you know, you mentioned initiative, but I realized, okay, I love sports. I want to do so many different things. But I'm at New Mexico, which is a great D1 school, but it's not an SEC or Pac-12 school. Mm-hmm. So I realized I'm not going to get the same opportunities as someone who's going to an Alabama, USC, any of that, simply because of the exposure of New Mexico. So I just started volunteering anywhere and everywhere I could. Mm-hmm. I started with the Mountain Basketball Tournament. I went to the College World Series. I went to back-to-back national championships back in the BCS days.
How do you go about doing that? Did you keep your eyes open for volunteer opportunities? Did you go out and seek people to help you out? How does that actually happen?
It's all about who you know, and I'm sure you've heard that a million mm-hmm. times. For example, you know, the Mountain West Basketball Tournament, that was simply because of the fact that I had worked in New Mexico with Mountain West. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I knew them, and they said, hey, if you want to come out here for free, that's how I did all these things. I never got paid for it. I just did it. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, when I tell you these things, besides the two national championships, a majority of what I was doing was mainly just making copies. So mm-hmm. it's not as glamorous as it sounds, as usual. But for the national championships, I realized I loved college football. I was not able to see a ton of huge college games, so I simply just found out who was the organizing committee for each game and contacted them, and that's how I did it.
Very nice.
Well, because of that, working those bowl games, the bowl community is pretty small in college football, mm-hmm. and it's really awesome. You know, everyone knows everyone. It's a neat kind of subsect of the, you know, sports industry. So I got a job with the Cotton Bowl immediately after graduation. Like, I graduated college, and 4 days later, I was moving to Dallas, which was awesome and kind of scary, but I loved it. So I moved here, and I work at the Cotton Bowl, which is out of the AT&T Stadium. So because of that, you know, you kind of just build different relationships mm-hmm. with the Cowboys. And then that April, I accepted a job to be the social media coordinator. And from then on, I have been there. And it has been a whirlwind of 2 years. And the first season I was there, they were 4-12. And the second season I was there, they were 13-3. The first season I was there, we were at Valley Ranch, a facility that was mm-hmm. fantastic, but had been, you know, around forever. And then now we're at the New World headquarters, the Star, which is just
immaculate.
Yeah, unreal. So, you know, I've learned tons and tons in just, you know, short 2 years. So it's been really, really exciting.
So clearly no coincidence that after your first year, that was when the team turned around, and now they look like they're building another dynasty. Taylor Stern's arrival certainly helped that.
You know, I failed to mention, throughout that whole time, you know, I had amazing, amazing opportunities, but it was really because I had such incredible people around me who were willing to give me a chance. And even when I would hear no, you know, there was always someone else who was going to tell me yes. So, mm-hmm. you know, obviously I'm in a great position now, but I didn't get there alone.
What were those skills you think that you built up, you know, that really helped get you over the top? I mean, picked up on skills with TV, with broadcasts, probably a little bit of journalism in there, maybe some design skills. And what do you think really allowed you to be qualified for the Cowboys job?
You fake it until you make it. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty quick learner, so maybe that's the best skill. But a lot of those skills I would never say that I'm an expert at. You know, I'm still constantly learning, changing my design eye. Mm-hmm. You know, I just love it all. I have a love for communication. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, communication is enveloped in all those things that you mentioned. It's in design, it's in TV, it's in writing. So any way that I can communicate or share something with people and connect with them or leave them with something that resonates, that's where I feel most passionate and I feel the most confident in my work.
Definitely. And so you join the Dallas Cowboys. They're a pretty well-known organization, and it's yeah. I'm sure it's a combination of excitement, anxiety, overwhelmed, a little bit of all of the above. So just tell me what it was like the first month, 2 months, even the first season of really learning how big of a brand that you were speaking for and building designs for, and what it was like really even internally as they were maybe trying to, imprint all this stuff on you, trying to get you to perceive and understand how important this team is to decades and generations of fans.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point, but I have a different perspective sometimes. I grew up in New Mexico where there's no professional sports team.
Mm-hmm.
There is kind of a split fan base between the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and then just random teams like the Chiefs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I was really a college basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Jimmy Valvano and the epic 1983 championship when he did the victory lap around the court. Mm-hmm. It was at the Pit, which is Albuquerque. So my ultimate dream was to work somewhere in college basketball. So truly, I never, ever, ever dreamt to work for the Cowboys, which has just been beyond. But because of that, I didn't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I still don't, and it kind of makes me do my job better. Because if you get caught up in the fandom, which is extremely easy to do,
mm-hmm.
It can be disheartening, at any time. I remember when I did accept the job, someone said, are you a huge Cowboys fan? I said, I like them, and they've had a great season. They were coming off the 12-4 2014 season.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they've had a great season. Jason Witten, he's obviously awesome. But I wasn't their biggest fan. I didn't know everything about them, and that was better because I didn't have a bias coming into
mm-hmm.
it. And, you're talking about having people who tried to help me get an imprint. I have amazing, extremely compassionate, very empathetic coworkers who are patient with me when I ask a million questions and are willing to take the time to teach me anything I need to know. And mm-hmm. I just have such a love for football, so that was easy for me. And, you're around these people that are at the highest level of their profession in athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't be inspired by them to work harder, then you can't be inspired by anyone. I look outside my window now at the star, and I can see Jason Witt on March 20th working out, getting better, still pushing it, going into his 15th year of the NFL, and that's just everything I need to be like, well, I'm going to work pretty hard today.
Oh, no doubt. That's goosebumps right there. And you go from you're kind of freelancing all around as much as you can and working for the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, where I'm sure you wore a lot of hats there. The bowl organizations are big, but not nearly as big as an NFL team, let alone the Cowboys. So was it tough going from maybe having your hands on all pieces of content and communications that were going out to really figuring out how your role fit into the organization, and where you had some people that maybe were full-time design or full-time video, and how was it like kind of learning that infrastructure about how content gets created?
I mean, you make a good point as far as to say yes. After definitely different size, I went from a staff of 10 to I don't even know how many people are employed by the company, but a lot more. And I think the best part of it is that yes, I went from a small staff, but now I'm in a small department.
Mm-hmm.
I'm technically in the internet department, and that's probably at max 14 people, maybe. I could be mm-hmm. 15 people, sorry if I am. But we're all so close. I mean, extremely, extremely close, very collaborative work environment. And, for the most part, I mean, obviously there are many other different parts that I don't touch as far as marketing, different things going out. But I touch pretty much everything. I mean, I do a lot of design work. I have, a great influence on what goes up for digital, but it's because they support me in that. You know, they let me be interrupting their conversations and probably sticking my nose in something it shouldn't be in, but it's very collaborative, and we're all able to really work together, so that helps.
So what was your position? First off, I imagine there was someone at the helm of social media before you arrived there, and you know, is social media seen for the Cowboys? Are you mostly an amplifier? Are you a community builder? Are you at the disposal of marketing and sponsorship? How does your role sort of fit into the organization? How do you know what you're supposed to do every day?
Nita, Greek chant. I'm sorry if I'm butchered her last name, but she was there before me and then left for ESPN NFL, and she's done a great job there.
Former podcast guest.
She's been great before. So Nita was there, and then, you know, going into every day, I'm amplifying whatever we put on the website. So that's a lot of content because we have a pretty heavy staff with 4 writers. And then, you know, just different social content posts that by now I've gotten more of a handle on. And, you know, during the season, we do have a ton of sponsorship posts, which is great. You can't complain about that, that people want to be associated with your brand. But in the off season, it's not as heavy. You know, there's certain posts, different types of content they want out, but you don't have a huge demand. So a lot of it, like I was kind of mentioning earlier, is a lot of brainstorming and planning ahead, at least in the off season where I'm at now. But in season, I mean, your days are so regimented. I don't even get stressed in season because it's such a routine. You know that there's going to be a press conference. You know there's going to be practice. You know there's going to be locker room, different things like that, that you're able to have so much content around. So I'm never without anything, and I think there's also finding the happy balance of not overloading someone.
And was it sort of a crawl before you walk kind of introduction, I guess? I mean, when you sit back and look at it, I mean, when you're posting on Twitter, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram, wherever it is, you are really developing the voice of the Cowboys and speaking on behalf of that organization, and that's not to be taken lightly, and I think nowadays we don't take it lightly. So, you know, how was that leash and even that learning process early on to saying, okay, we trust Taylor to speak the way we want to speak, to, you know, have the angles and spin that we want to have, and maybe be that brand that we want the Cowboys to be? I mean, you read all the time about, you know, Charlotte Anderson Jones and the importance of the Cowboys brand, and that's you're a steward of it. So tell me a little about that that responsibility and what that process has been like and how it's evolved in your time there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of a sink or swim type attitude, which I thrive in. So I loved that, and I appreciated that because it shows that there's a lot of faith in someone and support and encouragement. So, the first week I started on April 21st. I created draft graphics that were going to go up the next week, and that was my very first thing ever to do for the Cowboys, and it was awesome. And I, at the time, I didn't realize, like, everyone's checking Twitter to see who the Cowboys drafted. You know, I thought they were watching TV. Twitter has already just grown so expansively in the past 2 years, so it's funny to think that. I have a huge respect for the brand, and I think that helps me every day. I don't put that pressure on myself because you'll just get bogged down by it. But I have such a respect for Charlotte Jones Anderson, tremendous. I mean, she's a huge mentor to me and someone I'm really lucky to work with. But you also just have common sense. I mean, you know, there are times that you can be savage, like people want to say, or trolling someone. But I think if you have a respect for the brand and understand what's been set before, and you take in a lot of common sense, you'll be fine. I mean, if you let a pressure or, you know, all that worry get up to your head, you won't be able to survive. Because as much as social media needs to be consciously thought out in certain times, a lot of the time it's fast-paced. It's go, 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 what's happening right now, what's the current tempo, all that stuff. So you kind of just have to have logic behind that and understand. Of course you make mistakes, but you learn from it.
So it's almost like developing intuition, but just by being around the brand and talking enough to the people, to even the folks in PR, and understanding really what's okay and who you should be talking about, and whether you do want to have a little bit of sarcasm thrown into there, a little bit of snark thrown into there, or at this point, you know, you are so in involved with the brand that it comes naturally to you, and also they have 100% trust in you to guide the brand as you see fit almost at this point, because they know that you're going to work within their guidelines.
Yeah, I mean, we work with PR a little bit, but I don't know if you've ever really visited DallasCowboys.com, but the beautiful thing about DallasCowboys.com is they have allowed us a lot of freedom to be news reporters. Our writers are writing news, not propaganda. And a lot of times, teams or brands, people are promoting propaganda, and they're not reporting hard facts. The great thing when DallasCowboys.com was started, they knew we want this to be a media source, not just, you know, another team site that comes and says, hey, everyone is the best on our team, and, you know, we're going to win every game.
Right.
That has never been the attitude of the digital side of DallasCowboys.com. It's facts. It's, you know, sometimes not, you know, the best, especially when you have harder season, but, you know, you can expect to go to DallasCowboys.com and find real news, find real analysis. You know, some of the writers are rating these players pretty critically, and it can seem harsh or it can seem bizarre. I mean, plenty of times people have tweeted and said, you know, how would you guys be able to put this up? Why are you putting this type of bad content up? But it's not bad. It's the truth. These guys are playing a game, and they're getting judged on it. They know that. I think that's pretty clear with everyone. So the same just goes through our social channels, because we have that same type of mindset. You know, obviously, if something is, you know, just distasteful, we're not going to comment on it. But if it's something like, yes, Morris Claiborne left to the Jets, here's how it impacts the team. You know, that's kind of the attitude as far as, like, I wouldn't say confident. I mean, it is confident. It's just, it has some sort of swag to it as far as, like, this is it, you know, hate it or leave it. And I think that's the kind of the Cowboys brand in general, is because it has been around for so long. It receives so much love and hate. People love to talk about the Cowboys. People love to hate the Cowboys, too. And so that's kind of how you take that approach.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if there is news happening that's related to the Cowboys, you want fans to be trained and to think that, okay, something's happening with the Cowboys, I need to go and check out what's happening on social media, or go to DallasCowboys.com. You don't want them to think, let me go to somewhere where I'm not going to get something, whatever, quote-unquote whitewashed, I guess, or biased. And so, you know, making that a destination and really a true place for fans to congregate, I think, is, you know, certainly an admirable goal, and something that's sometimes not as apparent for some teams and their social media strategies, where it is just, you know, the happy-go-lucky or the candy, the sugar-coated spin on things, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the same sense, you want to be celebrating with your team when great things happen, and you want to be compassionate and empathetic, but you also, you know, you know this, there are message boards for people to just vent about how they feel about a certain roster move, or, you know, how that practice went, or a multitude of things. So the website is bringing them together almost. You know, hey, here's a photo gallery of the best photos from practice, but here's grades from, you know, last week's game.
I'm really interested to hear you mentioned the website, the content on the website. And, I mean, obviously you guys have a ton of social media content as well. So, I guess, tell me a little about how you know, where the website fits in these days. I mean, especially with the NFL, you hear so much about, you know, the changing, the evolution, I guess, to more native content consumption on social platforms versus maybe, and even still, you know, sometimes you are thinking website first, go watch the highlights on the website. So how does that balance play out? And, you know, do you guys have content that is just for social media versus just for the website, or are you tracking website metrics, you know, right alongside social media metrics, and one is just as important as the other?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I mentioned BuzzFeed earlier. BuzzFeed is a great example of this. They're kind of going against the grain. They have Pacey that's totally native, and people just soak it up and love it, and I'm obsessed with it. And then they have, hey, this top 10 of why you're an introvert, and I go and read that article. So to me, and I feel like this is echoed between a lot of my coworkers, is if it's good content, it's good content, and people will find it, and they will absorb it. So, yes, to answer your question, we do have content that is particularly native to social. I don't know if you saw the Finish This Fight video series that we had running through our playoff run. That was incredible. The kind of reception that we received from that was unlike anything I ever expected, unlike anything my colleagues expected. It's great, but a huge part of that success, I believe, is because it was native to social, and people were able to get that type of content immediately. But it was also blanketed everywhere. It was on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, the website. You know, we put it on different shows, things like that. So if you have a good strategy around something and know where people want to find it, that's your best go-to. Because, yes, I mean, we have a show called The Breakfast Club, where we have, like, eating cereal and Jez and all the guys. And we knew, hey, this isn't really a web hit. This is a social hit.
Right.
We made it with the, you know, mindset. So you just have to kind of think about it. But, you know, if you can do a photo gallery, I would rather do a photo gallery on a website and do, like, a teaser for photos and then to the full photo gallery instead of, you know, just bombarding tweets.
Well, I was going to bring this up later, but you brought it up. And real quick, resetting, having a great conversation with Taylor Stern. She's the social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, the Breakfast Club skit. So that went viral, and if there's even a word beyond viral, it did that. I think it still, it became its own meme almost, and people are still, you know, maybe eating breakfast cereal now with a huge spoon, like Zeke, and feeding Zeke. So before I keep rambling, guys, tell me a little about how that came together, how the idea comes together, what it was like working with the players to do it, and you know, how you guys sort of watched it explode and thought about how you could do more with it.
Yeah, that was great. Really, the true project that I'm most passionate about, and Breakfast Club was phenomenal, and to see the success from that was fantastic, but it was funny, and, like, you know, anyone who doesn't want to see Zeke feeding himself like a psycho would be crazy. But the passion project that I was able to work on this past season was really Finish This Fight. To me, to share messages of inspiration and motivation and make something that people are cathartic for as far as hearing the voice of players, that was way better. I mean, working with Dak, Dez, Zeke, I'm trying to think who else was in that video, Cole, Terrence, I'm probably missing someone, Lucky, and Bryce is awesome. They're great, great guys. Shannon Gross, who is my manager, was great in kind of directing that project and having a vision for that, expanding it into something beyond what we ever expected, and really kicking that off. But Finish This Fight was something that was never been done before. We based a lot of things off of, you know, other ideas and kind of get inspired, but Finish This Fight was something that Lindsay Draper, who is their team reporter, had originally kind of conceived this idea of doing a look at individual fights of guys on the team. And Tank Garrison, who's just phenomenal, he did Breakfast Club, he did the Sting video, he's done so many awesome videos that just have elevated our content to a different extreme, but Kent and Lindsay, you know, really decided, hey, we're going to go with Finish This Fight again, and we want to do this new series. And then Derek Eagleton, who's my boss, you know, just came up with the idea to have the guys voice them over themselves, which is scary. Because if you just did a script and then Lindsay did a voiceover or someone else did, you don't really have to involve the players at all, you know, which is easy. It takes a huge part of the production out. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to rely on anyone else. You can just get it done and knock it out. Well, asking the players to voice this over is not only intimidating because now you have to wait for them, but you also hope they say yes. And then this is real conversations. Dak talked about his late mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me is everything I aspire to in my work. You know, The Breakfast Club is hilarious and so great, and so was the Mannequin Challenge, and so many other things I've been able to be a part of have been awesome. But witnessing coaches crying while watching Dak Prescott finish this fight video is a memory I will hold with me throughout my entire career.
Wow.
Witnessing random people who were so moved by the pieces and shared extremely personal stories with me about how it inspired them to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you out of your work. You know, that is something that shows this is meaningful, and this isn't just social fluff. This is real life.
Mm-hmm.
And football to me is such a passion because it's so parallel with life. And to show that and to showcase these guys that I get to be around all the time and I have great respect for is unbelievable. I mean, I am truly honored to say that I've gotten to work with Jason Witten in my career. He's absolutely, you know, just awe-inspiring to anyone who gets to be around him, but he does it the best. You know, he's working harder than anyone else. And then to see someone like Dak Prescott, who has this huge spotlight thrown on him, and just completely handle it with such grace and dignity like he did this past season, I mean, it's something you want to study. And then, you know, the great thing that Lindsay did is she really thought that she wanted it to be, you know, not just the top guys in the roster, but the number 53 and the number 52, and to tell these stories that people may have never known. You know, Lance Dunbar, who was a free agent and just signed with the Rams, he did a Finish This Fight, and he's a Hurricane Katrina survivor. And Keith Smith, a linebacker on the team, actually, he's a fullback now, that's part of his story, was cut 21 times. So that's what means everything to me, because when my sister or my mom can watch something and love it and feel something from it, that's good work. And, you know, work the intent to execute this project was unbelievable and such a cool experience. I mean, and it was so fast. I mean, it was basically in 2 weeks. You know, at least for the Breakfast Club, you kind of have them plan things out. Different things you have more time to prepare for. But Finish This Fight, we had to do it so quickly. So, you know, we record Tyron Smith and I want to say maybe Lance or maybe it was Keith Smith. And this is on January 30th, a Friday. January 31st, we are flying to Philadelphia. I hear the audio for the first time. No, not paired with any highlights, not paired with anything else but music. And I'm chills everywhere. Tyron's voice, wow. Like, I never heard this guy talk. He's, you know, just one of the best in the league. Incredible. And he's one of my closest friends on the team. He's awesome. So I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is going to do something. So showed with Derek everything. Well, he's like, who else do you have doing it? And we're like, well, you know, we think we're going to get Brandon Carr. We might get Mark Claiborne, maybe Dan Bailey, all this stuff. He's like, well, what about, like, Dak and Witten? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, those are your big guys, right? You know, you don't want to really blow your bullet
right
on them. And you don't want to bother them because they've been bothered all season long. So, me, being the non-shy person that I am, I have my headphones on the plane ride home from Philly. This is our last game of the regular season. And Dak walks by me in the aisle of the plane, and I said, Dak, can you listen to this? And he puts on my headphones and listens to it. He goes, play it again. I go, well, I have another one if you want to hear that. He goes, just play it. So I play it again. And he's like, I'm in, anything you want. And so to see that type of reaction was all the validation we needed. And totally. Then Witten, we played it, and he said, great. Witten wrote his own. I mean, the other guys, you know, they had a lot of input in what we said as far as the script, but Jason Witten doesn't just, you know, do anything half-assed. In the middle of the playoffs, he's writing his own script for Finish This Fight and sharing his story and giving it his all as usual. So, yeah, I mean, I truly, truly can't say enough about Finish This Fight, yeah. And it inspires me every single day to have campaigns like that, but yeah, I mean, you have to balance it out, obviously, with the fun and lighthearted stuff, and you get a lot of that just organically. I think Breakfast Club worked because it was so organic, and so did the Mannequin Challenge and different things like that. But yeah, I mean, I will continually speak so highly of everyone who helped with Finish This Fight.
Yeah, I mean, just chills listening to you talk about it. I could tell it affected you, it affected everyone that saw it and consumed it, and it really is, it goes back to everything that being a fan is really all about, and it's the emotional investment, and really what social media has allowed us to do is tell the stories behind the guys who are inside those masks and show that they are people and emotionally invested. You can get your fans emotionally invested and understand what these guys have gone through and are going through, and it's powerful. And did you guys have to, was there a lot of vetting to make sure that stuff was good to post, or for the most part was just, you know, let's do it and get it out there and just making sure that we are, you know, being respectful about how we're portraying these things?
I mean, Lindsay is an incredible script writer, and she wrote the scripts primarily. You know, I had help from David Hillman editing, and he wrote a couple of the scripts, and but Kent Garrison, I mean, I'm so lucky to work with someone like Kent. So awesome. He's just a visionary, really. And we trust him so much, and we trust Lindsay, and we trust Dave. And them putting it all together was just kind of like, yeah, this works.
And then that was just sort of a whim of where was Lindsay or someone just, you know, saying, we're getting toward the end of the season, it's playoff time, let's take the mask off these guys a little bit. How does that idea come up, and you know, how do you guys know it's the right time to do it?
Yeah, she had mentioned that before. She had done that before, so she knew that that's always something to do. But it was just right timing.
A few more minutes left. We could talk all day. I know, Taylor, you know, I had so many more topics to run through, but we have a couple more minutes before we get this episode's shareable stat with Taylor Stern, a social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, I always love this question, especially with our folks who work for teams. Tell me, take me onto an NFL game day weekend with you. Tell me what it's like from maybe Saturday or late Saturday, and what your day is like from the time you get up Sunday to the time you finally go to sleep on Sunday. As detailed as you'd like.
Okay, if we're talking Saturday, let's do a road game, because that's probably more exciting anyway. Road games are awesome. I'm so incredibly lucky to be able to travel with the team, and sometimes I think, wow, a lot of guys I went to high school with would die to be in my place right now. Anyway, you head to the charter site and you start taking pictures of the guys, and you just kind of, you know, it's a pretty casual day on Saturday. We have a lot of prepared content that's either scheduled or we're pushing out. And that lasts us usually till game day. Then game day, you know, let's just say we have a noon game, so it's an early morning. I get on the early bus, I take pictures of the guy loading the bus.
And that's just stuff that you're putting across all platforms as much as you can, Instagram, Snapchat, website, Facebook, Twitter, or do you have different folks on different platforms?
respectively, you know, it's going through all platforms, and we're very diligent about what goes where and, you know, all of that. So, respectively, we're kind of blanketing everything, noting the fact that it's game day, and people are hungry for content. And then, you know, we'll get to the stadium, and you want to set the scene. So whether that's with a photo or a video or something like that, you just kind of do that. Guys warming up. You don't want to bug them too much. You know, they're getting in the mindset, so you're just kind of a fly on the wall sometimes. And then, you know, I have a pregame show, which is pretty great, and we're able to do that pretty quickly. And then from there, Shannon is paired with our photographer on the field, posting pictures, respectively, to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, a little bit of Snapchat, depending on the game in general. And then I'm up in the press box really doing a lot of graphics, live tweeting, just kind of keeping a pulse on the game. And, yeah, that's how it goes.
Then game ends. You guys all run to the room, or is that just Shannon and different folks from that team? What's the post-game like?
Post-game, you know, we all kind of actually head to the bus, and we're working on our computers, and maybe we have our iPad hotspot going. And then, you know, we're just posting whatever content we have, whether that be photos or not. We have a great photographer, Jeremiah Joss, who's able to get us those photos rather quickly. And James Smith, another photographer, is working pretty hard to get us those photos. But video content, we're getting turned around pretty quickly. So, yeah, we're all in it together.
It sounds like a long day. I'm sure it is by the time you're finally home or back to the hotel or wherever you are on the airplane heading back. I'm sure even then it's still going, but it certainly does sound like you guys have a good team there that does work together pretty well. I mean, before we get to the shareable stat, I did want to kind of touch on how it is planning for, you know, some of that more routine stuff during the game day week, even planning out what the game day is going to be like from a content perspective, especially when you don't even know. You know, we're sitting here talking in March, and by the time we get to October, I mean, who knows what the platforms will look like, what kind of content we'll be able to create, what kind of content we'll be expected to create. So is it tough, or do you guys, are there times during the season where you have to sort of stop and be like, okay, now we got this Instagram stories thing out, you know, how do we use it? And what's it like to plan and also adapt on the fly as the platforms evolve?
No, it's not tough at all. I mean, you really just have to take it day by day and be patient. You know, a lot of things come and go. I remember when I first started, Meerkat was bigger than Periscope, and, you know, look where we're at now. So you just have to be patient, and sometimes you let things develop. You don't always have to be the first on something. And you can also figure out, like, where's our audience, you know? Are they all on Instagram right now? Are they all on Snapchat? What are they liking the best? That's where analytics really come to play. So, no, I mean, it's not tough. You just have to kind of go with the flow and have a positive attitude. And sometimes you take big risks and you're like, okay, we're going to go for this Instagram stories thing. But a lot of times you're just smart about it. I mean, you have to always, you know, wear some floaties before going into deep water with social media, so it doesn't freak me out at all.
Now I'm picturing you tweeting with floaties on or something like that. is it almost like I looked at, what's the analytics versus the, you know, the data versus gut kind of aspect of it? You know, instinct versus science, and especially with the Cowboys, I feel like, yeah, if you guys win a game, you could. I always make this kind of comparison or this analogy. You could tweet a poop emoji, you know, after a win, and, you know, it would still get a ton of retweets probably. If anything, it may cause some stir about what the heck you mean. But I mean, how do you kind of know when something is hitting as well as it, you're maximizing the output, so to speak? Or is it kind of a gut feel that this, you know, we did this the right way, this had all the different brand engagements that we wanted, the different you know, images that we wanted out there? And because it is tough when you are working for a brand that you know, if you guys win, it's going to get 5,000 or 3,000 retweets, no matter what you say.
Yeah, I mean, you know that, but it is really just a gut thing. And, you know, sometimes it's just being a human, and mm-hmm. that's a big thing. You know, there's a lot of times that we put out content, and it could be anybody doing it, which mm-hmm. I get because you're a brand, but a lot of times you just have to be empathetic with your fan base. I know I've said that word a million times, but that's a big word for me, is having empathy, understanding what people are feeling in that moment. If mm-hmm. you're going into overtime, then you are having a tweet that can't handle it, you know, something right. like that.
No, I like that a lot.
You just lost the game, you can't. So don't be tone deaf, but understanding what's going on will make your content resonate with your audience.
Oh, thank you. I love that sentiment. Taylor Stern, social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I won't ask you to comment really on it, but when a team loses or loses in a really dramatic fashion and they just go silent as if like nothing happened.
Telling the story of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's okay to feel emotion. It's okay to feel upset when you lose. It's okay to jump for joy when you win. And I think teams that do empathize, as you said, are doing it the right way. So I'm glad to hear that you guys sort of embrace that emotion along and emote with your fans.
BuzzFeed at the recent Leaders Summit.
Yeah.
And that is that.
Well,
BuzzFeed,
Taylor, we're going to have a little more fun in our Tay Talk segment coming right up. But first, the episode's shareable stat,
it, though,
and we'll be right back
just
with that.
About creating 600 pieces of content per day, they also learn 600 times per day, she said. So how can you learn from that as well? How are you learning from your content? Every time you post something, it's an opportunity to learn. How is this resonating with fans? On which platform is it working? Did a different way of presenting this kind of content work better before on a different platform or on the same platform? Make sure you're constantly reviewing and learning. That does not just mean looking at the vanity metrics. It doesn't even just mean looking at the ones with the best reach, which are often predictable because of the nature of the content. You have to look at really what's surprising. And ask questions that metrics can help you answer, and look at how fans are reacting to your content. How are they sharing it? What are they saying about it when they share it? And ultimately, what's getting them to take action? So that's episode's shareable stat. Lots of good stuff from BuzzFeed, including a couple other pieces of stats. And 75% of their content is consumed off their website, so on other platforms. And 80% of the consumption of their content is mobile. Lots of good stuff coming from BuzzFeed, but this one stood out to me as it was insightful, got you thinking. And that is that they create 600 pieces of content per day, and damn it, do they learn 600 times or more per day as well. So that's episode's shareable stat. Hope you enjoy it. Hope it makes you think a little bit about your own content. And we're going to be right back to get to know Taylor Stern a little bit more in our Tay Talk segment.
All right, that was this episode's shareable stat, and now we are right back with Taylor Stern. She is the social media coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Taylor, really enjoyed hearing about everything you do for the Cowboys as well as your path there. You did a great job in your interview. Are you now ready for a little Tay Talk?
Yes, I am ready.
Let's do it. Number one, this one we might have hit on it, we may have not, so you know, feel free to go with however range you want to go. The most viral piece of content you posted during your time with Cowboys?
Finish this fight, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott won.
No doubt.
It was,
yeah, and then obviously yeah. Mannequin Challenge and Breakfast Club, second, third.
And when we talk viral with the Cowboys, we're talking like millions, not just you know, a handful of retweets or views here and there. It must be cool to watch. I'm sure when you put out something like the Finish the Fight series or like the Mannequin Challenge, and just watching those numbers continue to jump up, it's gotta be a little bit of fun checking it every now and then.
Yes, it is fun. You should go watch the Dak Prescott video immediately.
I'm gonna have to watch all of them now. I want to watch the Jason Witten one especially now and hear it in his words as well. really good. So now you got to somehow match that or surpass that next year. Good luck with that. All right, number two for you, Taylor. I saw you did a little work for ESPNU Campus Connection, which kind of reminds me of something I did in college. During your time at UNM, tell me your favorite story you worked on when you worked for UNM.
When I worked for UNM or when I worked for ESPNU?
Either one, actually. Well, let's hear ESPNU.
Okay, so ESPNU, they were great. Awesome people over there. ACY, he's so awesome. He let me be part of this March Madness type skit that they did when the kid president was really popular. I don't know if you remember that video that kind of went around Facebook. And we did a kid president type skit for March Madness, and it was so funny, so great. It was basically with ESPNU Campus Connection guys from every school, you know, North Carolina, West Virginia, UT, you name it. They were involved, and it was so awesome. So that was definitely number one.
I like it. It does sound pretty fun. Number three for you, you might have hit on it already, but tell me, the Cowboys player, I guess active, or it could be from last, no longer with the team anymore too. The Cowboys player who is the best quote or the biggest personality, if they're different.
Cole Beasley. He is, you know, not someone that you're going to go to assuming that you're going to get a great quote, but he's definitely been quoted talking about Whataburger. He is hilarious. He calls everyone dad on the team. He is just radiant, and I'm so happy to witness him and his awesome personality. He seems like a great teammate. Obviously, I'm not his teammate in the locker room or in meeting rooms, but he's so kind and generous to people who work with him, and so I would have to say Cole Beasley.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. All right, number four, Furry, we touched on this a little bit offline, so you could go outside if you want, outside the question a little bit, but tell me, if you can, the non-NFL and non-Texas sports team that does the best job on social media, and why?
That's a tough one. Non-NFL, non-sports team, or non-Texas team?
Yeah, I want you to have to, you know, feel like you have to be a homer with some of the other locals around there, and also that you are going to upset one of your NFL brethren.
Oh, this is easy. This is easy. Clemson football. They do such an awesome job. I know they have a great student department. Clemson football, I look for inspiration all the time. I love their design. I love their video content.
Mm.
So, probably that.
No doubt. They are second to none. Really good stuff there from Jonathan Gant and his team. Number five for you.
Yeah.
You can go answer this however you like. Just tell me when the Cowboys are really winning and kicking butt. How crazy is it when you're monitoring social media and all the crazy timelines and mentions for the Cowboys? And also, how really bad are the bad times? And how bad does it get?
The bad times I don't care about. I just blow it off. when you work for the Cowboys, I guess it's when you work in sports in general, maybe other positions too. When you meet someone, you introduce yourself and blah, blah. A lot of times they don't directly say it works for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, say that comes up, they're going to give you their opinion first and foremost. You know, hey, this is how I feel about Jerry Jones. This is how I feel about, you know, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, regardless. So the same goes for social media. People want to be heard, and they don't care. The meme stuff, I could do without forever. I don't care. I will never entertain it, and it impacts me in no way possible.
Good.
Obviously, want to get a pulse. I mean, if there's something that people are just freaking out about, that needs to be taken into attention. But, I mean, when people are rude and just cruel on social media, that goes for everywhere, not just sports teams, I will never pay attention to it. It's just useless, a waste of their time. But positive, I mean, those times are so overwhelming. You try to just focus, and I have so many different lists that I keep a good track of, so I'm able to see kind of our priorities or whoever we want to make sure that we're showing that we hear them, but we hear everyone, you know, good and bad. You just have to figure out what you pay attention to.
Yeah, I'm just picturing timelines going crazy when the Cowboys win an exciting game, or something big happens. It just must be overwhelming but fun as well at the same time.
All right. Absolutely, you're right.
Number six for you, Taylor, tell me the best or most memorable sports event that you've ever attended.
That would have to be the last BCS National Championship in 2014. It was Florida State versus Auburn. Florida State came back and won it. They went undefeated that season. Jameis Winston.
Wow.
Jimbo Fisher. So awesome. I was on the sideline the entire game. The Rose Bowl is the absolute best place I've ever witnessed a college football game, especially at that magnitude. It was unreal. I'm extremely fortunate for that memory, but I remember seeing these men cry, these families just embracing each other when the game was over, and those are kind of the best moments. And you know, Jimbo Fisher, talk about someone who's easily quotable. He's fantastic, and really will cherish that day forever.
Oh yeah, it's really cool to see that emotion play out in front of you. I remember we had Andy Perlman from the Pittsburgh Penguins on, and she talked about the end of the Stanley Cup and the celebration, and the one image that stuck out in her mind was a father, or I think it was maybe a wife and a coach, or it was just that little emotion that played out in front of her that was the most memorable thing, and it's really cool to hear that and also be able to experience it in person. Number seven for you, Taylor, this one I think I know where you're going to go with it, but let's see how it plays out. Number seven is your favorite social media and sports mantra or guiding principle, the thing that you would tell people as the thing that can help them guide them, I guess.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I think you're going to say empathy and understanding how your fans feel.
I actually think it's every day is new. You know, never let today's worries or anything distinguish, you know, or take anything away from your tomorrow. So every day I go into it, I kind of start with a clean slate. You know, obviously feeding off whatever is already there, but starting over and starting new and looking ahead. Michael Jordan is my all-time sports hero. So my sports mantra that I continually follow is always been practice like you've never won and play like you've never lost. You know, you gotta keep going in social media. I think you mentioned it as far as the fact that, you know, it bothers you when teams just kind of go silent or don't focus on what's happening. And for me, that's how you have to act. I mean, you have to act like that in life and you have to act like that in your professional career. And so where I go with it a lot of times is just keep trucking along and making sure that you're doing the best work you can do. Every day I want it to be the best work I've done.
Nice. I really like that. I'm ready to go to sleep and get up tomorrow now and attack tomorrow with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Good.
All right, Taylor, this one's always fun. I think you and I kind of talked about it a little bit before, but I want to hear the best food to get around Dallas.
Sprinkles cupcakes. It's a chain, I know, but I love Sprinkles cupcakes, and I didn't have them in New Mexico, so Dallas was obviously a great spot to move when I graduated because they had a Sprinkles cupcakes.
Nice. And what, do you have a go-to flavor?
Probably just red velvet.
Okay, that's probably a good one.
Yeah, if you want local food, at Pecan Lodge is a great barbecue spot.
Nice, okay. So after you do boot camp again tomorrow, you can get some Sprinkles cupcakes.
Why?
Number nine for you, Terry, almost coming to the end here. Tell me, have you ever interacted personally with Jerry Jones? And if so, or even if not, do you have any like one good story about him?
Yeah, Jerry Jones is fantastic, and you know he's absolutely brilliant. What he's been able to do for the NFL and for sports in general is really just unparalleled in the entire entertainment industry. He views things so forward-thinking. He's just great. And I obviously have immense respect for him and so much admiration for his children, Steven and Jerry Jr. and Charlotte Jones Anderson, who's so great, I've already mentioned. But Jerry Jones, you know, I don't really interact with him a ton personally.
Right.
Not because it just, you know, doesn't happen or if there's any block, but it just doesn't happen. He's a really busy guy. But I will say, he always mentions people by their name, and I think that's a really cool trait. Nice. And the best memory I'll have of Jerry Jones for the time that I worked for the Cowboys is I was able to be at the NFL Honors when he was announced to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And, yeah, and there was so much nerve around the fact, you know, there was a lot of anxiety if he was going to get chosen or not, and, you know, if he was going to be first ballot and different things like that. And in my mind, I thought it was a no-brainer. I mean, what he has done is remarkable and will be studied forever. He is so innovative and just completely changed everything. So to me, it was a no-brainer. But the way that he acted was he was so genuinely appreciative of the fact that he finally was being recognized by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just seeing that and seeing his gratitude towards his family who's been with him throughout the entire process and, you know, different people. He was being celebrated all night by Deion Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. Just so incredible to witness. And, you know, love the fact that he had his whole family surrounding him when he found out, and just so, so awesome.
I love that. All right, number 10 for you, Taylor. Last one. We'll get you on a little fun one here. So you were homecoming queen at UNM, and that's awesome. So I want to know, I'm looking at the Cowboys roster currently, which Cowboys player is most likely to have, or who would have made the best one maybe, to have been homecoming king in high school or college for themselves?
I think it's pretty obvious that would have been Zeke Elliott. But, is just a natural homecoming king, and I could already see him like accepting it wearing a crop top or something crazy.
Of course.
I've really enjoyed working with him, and just like freak athlete. Wow, he's insane. But yeah, Zeke, no doubt.
Nice. I'm totally like picturing a little like crop top tuxedo now or something on Zeke.
Look at his draft pictures.
Very true. All right, Taylor, had a lot of fun in our Tay Talk segment. I wish we could have gone even longer. So now it's your chance, though, to take over the podcast and tell us your social media all-star to follow. Someone on Twitter, usually, who they are and why they're worth following.
How many people do you want me to mention?
This is your podcast now. You can name one. You can name, well, maybe not 100, but you can name a few more if you'd like.
Well, definitely all the people that I've already mentioned, they all have social media, so I hope you find them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could say one person that everyone should be following and keeping an eye on, that would be my sister, Alex Stern, who is a budding musician in Nashville, my constant confidant, the person who lets me bounce all my ideas off of and call late at night when I have an instant flash of brilliance, and she's always there for me. So at Alex Stern, let me get the exact one for you.
We'll link her up.
But you
for
can
sure.
find her on everything at Alex_Stern_. And she is so awesome, extremely positive, just someone you want to be around constantly. So follow her on everything.
Very
and
nice.
Watch her succeed.
I'll have to link up a link to her, some for her music too when I post this podcast. I like that. And how about yourself, Taylor?
Oh my gosh.
Where can we find you as well as all things Cowboys on digital and social media?
Yeah, I'm at Tay Stern on Twitter, at Tay Stern on Instagram. I promote my Snapchat, but not really too much. Tay Stern 8. And then I have a couple of YouTube videos that are pretty embarrassing, but you are free to watch. And that's just on my personal YouTube channel. And I do have a website where I post occasional random deep thoughts.
Very nice. Well, lots of places to find you. Lots of places that, I guess, are Dallas Cowboys. You guys pretty uniform across the board at Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, sir.
That's the way it should be. Not different handles all over the place. So kudos to you for that. And really just thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We really cool to hear about one of the biggest brands, sports brands in the world. And you guys do a phenomenal job. I recommend following everything the Cowboys are doing. You know, during the season, you guys are second to none. And like we spoke about earlier, you could rest on your laurels. You could just post whatever, and it would still, you know, get some decent metrics. But you guys do go above and beyond, and that you do a service to the fans. And so, you know, I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't believe it. So, again, kudos to you and your team for sure. And we look forward to seeing what you guys have cooked up for this upcoming season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been great to talk to you.
Best of luck with the enjoy the rest of the offseason, because there is no offseason in football, so it's going to get busy really quickly.
So true. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Taylor Stern, social media coordinator for Dallas Cowboys. She was just a delight to talk to. Learned a lot as well, and I hope you did too. And we're getting ready for the NFL draft is coming up, and the season will be here before you know it. It truly is a year-round league and no rest for Taylor Stern, and we look forward to seeing what she and the Cowboys come up with next season. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks for listening. Find more episodes at iTunes and Stitcher, as well as other content and episodes at dsmsports.net. And I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, so hit me up at NJH287. Until next time, we'll see you on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.